In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shot.
Well, it's been a while, but I think we sent that beagle down to the depths of Davy Jones' locker. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, and we'd love to welcome you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation, evolution, and where we came from.
Lighthearted, because we know no other way, but we are serious. We are unabashed creationists, and we want to welcome you to today's program, and we'd like to sort of begin with a little birthday song.
Okay, here we go. Ta-da-da-da.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Chuck.
Happy birthday to you.
Okay. What a sour note to sing. But actually, we're commemorating the 197th anniversary of Charles Darwin's birth.
But where did you get me?
Well,
did you get me anything for his birthday?
It's his birthday, not yours.
Oh, man, you're so
but
cheap.
But you know what? We're not the only ones commemorating his birthday. His birthday's not today, folks.
Okay. February 12th.
Mm-hmm. This is now the year 2006, but February 12th is Charles Darwin's birthday. And what's interesting is that where his birthday was commemorated.
In his family's house?
No.
At the Science Convention of America?
No.
Okay, where?
In 49 states in the United States, over 400 congregations, churches.
Churches
celebrated.
Are singing happy birthday to Chuck?
They are singing happy birthday to Chuck. Just this last recently, on February 12th of this year, they celebrated Charles Darwin's birth.
You're going to have to explain this a little bit.
It was called Evolution Sunday.
I've heard of various promotions in church, but evolution is being promoted in churches.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
A professor, Michael Zimmerman of the University of Wisconsin, not Madison, Oshkosh. One of the baby schools. They have Oshkosh, Bagosh, baby.
Baby schools.
It's the baby. I graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, a much bigger school at the time than Oshkosh was.
Not that you have any feelings on the subject.
Not quite Badger time.
Okay.
But the whole point is this, that there in the at Oshkosh, this Professor Zimmerman has been encouraging clergy across America to sign a letter to support evolution and reject the Genesis account of creation as literal history.
He wants pastors to sign on and say, forget Genesis.
The sad reality is he has over 10,000 pastors
10,000
signed his awful letter agreeing with him that Genesis' account of creation is not factual.
It's not literal. Okay, so these are pastors, and we assume that these are the things that they will be preaching in church, and maybe even they'll sign up for a happy birthday day.
At least 400 of them are going to be preaching it from the pulpit, and they are trying to be selective in what they do. So basically what's happening is, move over, Jesus. Mm-hmm. We've invited Chuck to church.
Chuck is coming to church. Is it possible for two objects to occupy the same space?
Well, scientifically, no.
No, I can prove it in trying to sit on the couch with some of my kids.
Yeah, can two thoughts occupy the same space in your mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And reality is no, you have to focus on one or the other. You always have to focus. You can multitask, but only to the degree that you're constantly switching back to one thought the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
That sounds right. But, okay, so can Charles Darwin come to church and be part of, you know, our beliefs, and just like Jesus and being an authoritative source? What happens when the two of them disagree on something? That's my question.
Well, it sounds like that what they do is they throw Jesus under the bus, so
okay.
to speak.
Darwin breaks Trump. He's the Trump.
What their main thought here, it seems to be, at least according to the articles that have been written about it, is that Jesus taught equality, justice, and obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've selected some aspects of Christ's teaching to exemplify, And this particular one regarded homosexuality, and where mm-hmm. Jesus is called to love one another and to welcome all God's children to the table.
Well, and this is the Christian Alliance for Progress, called CAP, C-A-P. And although they might not be directly Zimmerman's own organization, it's the one that he's kind of working through to accomplish some of these things. And that is part of their belief, that Jesus was teaching equality, justice, and so forth. And, you know, welcome everybody in. That's the way Jesus was. So let's forget any other biblical teachings, including things he might say on the subject that might go against the agenda for the group.
So they're sort of selecting.
Selecting.
That selective, it sounds like, Darwin. It's natural selection. This is it's not supernatural selection, because they just kicked Jesus, the supernatural one, out. So they're naturally
select certain nice sayings of Jesus. Yeah, that sounds good.
But they debunk the rest. I mean,
this pushes my button, John. How can you, as a Christian, select certain things from Scripture or from Jesus and say these are authoritative, and then dump the rest and still feel like you're saying Jesus is authoritative? You just made your intellect, you break the tie. You're the filter. You filter out things that Jesus said if they don't agree with what your agenda is.
And that's a sad reality. It's our natural human nature to want to do that, to mm-hmm. filter Jesus out and to let self rule.
In this case,
self-choice is, and the sad or scary reality of it is that when we start doing that, we become mm-hmm. our own God.
Mm-hmm.
We become our own authority.
That's right.
And this is what's happening, apparently, this just recently on February 12th across mm-hmm. the nation and mm-hmm. in churches around America. What's so funny about it, too, though, Stan, mm-hmm. is that when you start going through and studying some leading evolutionists and what they have to say about the attempt to blend religion and science.
Uh-huh.
Well, one of the famous ones is Richard Dawkins. He's the British
Pope.
Giant.
Yes.
The Pope of the, mm-hmm. the leading Pope now that Stephen Jay Gould, God rest
yes.
his soul,
yes.
so to speak. He's assumed room temperature, or at least ground
yes.
temperature, whatever
yes, he
they
has.
Put him.
And Dawkins is taking over as sort of the spokesman because, let's face it, he has great sound bites. I mean, he says things off the wall, he makes them interesting.
No, just we have to give a few of Dawkins' sound bites that he likes to share. Sound bites from Richard Dawkins. Never mm-hmm. thought we'd agree with Richard Dawkins, but we do today. Notice, here's one. I want to examine that dangerous thing that's common to Judaism and Christianity as well, the process of non-thinking called faith.
So everybody who has faith is a non-thinker, but if you had thinking ability, you would be a scientist, i.e., in his understanding of the word scientist, you'd be an atheist.
Yeah. Other things he says are things like this.
We don't agree with that part.
No.
Okay.
The scriptural roots of the Judeo-Christian moral edifice, are cruel and brutish. He thinks that Christianity and Judaism is cruel. We don't agree with that either. We think that evolution does show a lot of cruelty and bruteness in their processes, but not mm-hmm. Christianity.
Well, the thing that Darwin did say that we could agree
Dawkins.
On, well, probably him too, but Dawkins said that we could agree on is, it says, people like to say that faith and science can live together side by side, but I don't think they can. They're deeply opposed. Science is a discipline of investigation and constructive doubt, questing with logic, evidence, and reason to draw conclusions. Faith, by stark contrast, demands a positive suspension of critical faculties. Well, we don't agree with his definition, but what he's saying is science, as it is popularly promoted, as he's saying, atheism
uh-huh.
and religion, which is a faith-based, orientation, don't seem to be able to get together. And I actually agree with that,
yes.
The way he sets it up.
Mm-hmm. The modern science as understood and taught today does not fit in the household mm-hmm. of faith, nor faith in the classroom of science.
Different worldviews.
Lab of science.
Clashing worldviews.
The clash of titans.
Mm-hmm.
In this case here, they got the two titans in church together, and they're bowing down to both.
Mm-hmm.
The sad reality is that the real pure scientists think it's a bunch of garbage, and the real honest person with the scriptures think it's a bunch of garbage.
Of course.
But they're trying to blend things that don't mix. They're trying mm-hmm. to make oil and water mix that just will not.
Well, it is hard for, let's give an illustration. We've used this illustration often, and that's the Church of England. The Church of England welcomed Darwin in, so to speak, when he was buried in Westminster Abbey. A little more than 100 years ago. Darwin has been in church, and he's the last one that came to church in England, as far as our records show.
Yeah, he's never had many converts since. And of course, he didn't come willingly. They had to kill him first.
But when he assumed room temperature, yes. The thing is, people don't go to church in England hardly at all now. It's under 10% of the population.
And it's mostly immigrants.
And mostly immigrants. The Brits themselves don't go to church. And why? Because what do you get at church? You don't get a message that you can't get anywhere else. It's humanism. It is room for evolution. There's nothing that Scripture offers because Scripture isn't true.
Speaking of Scripture, Stan,
yes,
I think we do need to share something that is true, though, mm-hmm. that relates directly to this subject. We can look at a couple places. We have torpedo mm-hmm. texts, and that's
yes.
our version of just wanting to challenge the malaise of garbage that floats around as good science or good Scripture, which
yeah.
it really isn't, like bringing Darwin to church.
Well, when you try to bring in a cosmology or a worldview that it doesn't fit in church, you know, try to bring it in, what happens?
And when Darwin and Jesus try to occupy the same space,
yeah,
what happens?
Yeah. In the Old Testament, something similar happened where Ezekiel was given a vision by God in chapter 8 of Ezekiel, where he is shown the spiritual condition of the church of Israel at that time. And what were they allowing into their sanctuary? What sort of worldviews were being allowed in?
Well, in Ezekiel 8, the Spirit invites Ezekiel to come in and mm-hmm. take a look and see what's around. He says, "Son of man, dig through the wall." And mm-hmm. he dug through an entrance, and he goes in and sees the abominations. He looked, and it says, "Every form of creeping thing and beasts, detestable things, with idols of the house of Israel were carved on the walls all around." So he's seeing, he goes inside mm-hmm. and he sees the carved fertility images of that were part of the procreative act. They were worshiping the creature instead of the creator. You had mm-hmm. creature worship going on, creation worship going on.
Verse 11, it says, "And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel." And so the leaders of the church were in there promoting and participating in this different worldview.
And bowing down to the created thing mm-hmm. instead of the creator.
And what was the effect in terms of the presence of God? If you go to chapter 10, and verse 18, after there's a description of how the Holy Spirit, you know, the presence of God, the glory or Shekinah of God is moving through the temple and moving to the edge, it says in verse 18, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim, and they were lifted up." And if you look at, and they mounted up from the earth in my sight, and they left. The presence of God left.
Left the temple.
The temple.
It reminds me of what happened in the life of Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. When he went to Jerusalem, it said in Matthew 23, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate."
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough room in the house for other competing views with Jesus Christ and his claims of who he is. Either he's the world's biggest fraud, mm-hmm. or he is the Son of God. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer and the soon-coming King.
And he is the authority. And when he speaks, those are words that you cannot take lightly. You can't filter them out and let them go. You can't recreate some other reality and place them, in that temple.
So, so when we look at it, who made room for whom in the churches?
Mm-hmm.
Were they really making room for Charles Darwin in their pulpits on his birthday, or were they really kicking Jesus out to do it, in a sense? Are they pushing him aside? And I have a sneaking suspicion that as we, don't get me wrong, we love mm-hmm. sinners. Homosexuals is part of their push. They're trying to draw these mm-hmm. people in. We don't agree with their conduct, but the people themselves are so precious that God would come to this earth to redeem them.
Jesus died to save them.
But the point is that who's going to be God? Is it going to be Darwin and his methodology, or were we made in the image?
We agree with Dawkins that there's not room for both of these together.
In God's house.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.